Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Saints, it's only when we return that we are able to discern. Notice Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive it unless he's first and foremost born again. And when you're born again, you're made a new creature in Christ. All of your sins are washed away, but you must remain in an abiding relationship with Jesus, which includes continuing to return to the Lord on a daily or as needed basis. I don't know about you working out your own salvation, but this is a daily walk for me, as Jesus said it would be. He said to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily, and to follow me. Following Jesus is a daily relationship. Notice in Malachi chapter 3, a few things here. The Lord said that I am the Lord and I change not. So God hasn't changed. He is holy, holy, holy. And He requires that we remain in a rightful relationship with Him, one that is set apart. Again, God is holy, holy, holy. Not just holy, but triple holy, holy, holy. In the book of Psalms, I'm going to look at chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible tells us that God cannot dwell with those who choose not to be set apart unto Him, to be unholy, that would be, because being holy means to be set apart unto the Lord. And the actions and the fruit of your life will thereby reflect. John the Baptist said, repent and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In other words, consistent with true repentance. The outside will always reflect the inside. God's most concerned about the inside of the cup, not the outside. That is the heart of men. The Lord tells us that He looks on the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And Jesus rebuked the false religionists of His day in Matthew 23, where He said, you clean the outside of the cup, but inside the cup, you're full of filthiness. God looks on the heart. And yet, the Bible tells us that the root will always determine the fruit. Amen. The fruit of your life will always be good works, giving glory only to God, as you truly are in an abiding relationship with Him, which begins with being born again. Notice Psalm 5:4, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Amen. Evil will not dwell with the Lord. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 14. Back to Malachi 3, perhaps this will be our central text in this message. God is rebuking His people for their gross iniquities. And He says here in verse 6 that, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Verse 7. In other words, He was holding out mercy, but they had to do something. They had to return to Him. Notice turn again. And I want you to think of return that way from now forward. Also, repent. They seem to be synonymous. Repent. Do it again. Anytime you have the letters R-E in front of other letters, you know it's a do it again thing. Return. Turn again. Repent. Pent means the top. That's why we call on these business buildings, you hear it commonly called the penthouse. That's always at the top floor. So picture that. Repent means get back to the top, get back to God, the Most High. Think about it. Even from the days of your fathers, Malachi the prophet writes. Some people call him Malachi, the Italian prophet. Not quite. He was Jewish. Malachi says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances
and have not kept them. They were in sin. They were separated from God by their sin. The wages of sin is death. Death simply means separation. Ultimately, that means in the damnation of hell, irrevocably. Then he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. God has conditions, beloved, for blessing you with a relationship with him, which is priceless for us as far as value, yet it wasn't without a price. It was paid for by the ultimate price, the price of the redeeming precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:17-18, we're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So return unto me, and I will return unto you. He paid the highest price to save us and bring us into a relationship with him, but it's not without conditions. I was talking to a guy today, and this is such a needed thing that we teach from the scriptures, saints. The book Lie of the Ages goes extensively into this, about the need to abide, to remain in Christ after being saved. That's what the apostles and Christ taught throughout the New Testament canon. Absolutely. This is a doctrine that's literally never heard spoken in the modern church. I don't even hear it among those who are walking in a lot of truth. And saints, this need not be. We need to be teaching what the scriptures say from the scriptures, letting God speak for himself on this matter. So God says here, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Remember James 4:8, draw nigh, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. It's conditional. God is waiting on you. I got good news for you. If we just get honest and say, Lord, you know what I did. Just say it by name, whatever it is. Does it matter how big the sin you think it is? The blood of Jesus is greater than that sin. We need to repent of putting a sin above the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, above the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is unbelief and absolute rebellion. Unless it's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, which you wouldn't even be listening to this if you had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, because you wouldn't be being drawn to the Lord. He'd have done turned you over. So if you're listening to this and you're putting any sin, you're saying that God can't forgive such and such a sin. I don't care what it is. Sin is sin in a certain sense that certain sins bring on more judgment and more effect on you. They all bring an effect on all of us if we partake of them. And yet, if the sin I committed or you committed is a different flavor than the sin that sister or brother such and such committed, it doesn't matter. It's still sin. You know why? Because God is holy, holy, holy. Sin is severe because God is holy, 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 and he cannot dwell with sin. So the same person, one person who dies in the sin of unforgiveness or hatred in their heart towards someone, malice, is going to the same hell irrevocably as the fornicator or the murderer or the adulterer. We need to become kingdom-minded. We need to see everything through the eyes of the full counsel of God's word as we learn it together, saints. Notice, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? See, they didn't even want to see the error of their own way. And may God bless you and I with his holy fear to unite our hearts to fear his name and to give us a heart of flesh that is extremely sensitive to any error, any sin, or even the temptation to sin. I tell you what, I told somebody recently, man, when I do something wrong, I cannot even sleep anymore. I don't know. Many of you can probably testify to the same thing. And I want to say this right now. Thank God. You see, God isn't so concerned about our temporal comfort as he is our Christ-likeness, which will bring about and yield eternal glory with him. And nothing short of that will. We must be one with him and the Father. And when we are, when we step out of line with Daddy, I don't know about you, but I still do that sometimes. I say stuff that I shouldn't, maybe to a family member, and I'm not mean or anything, but maybe just shouldn't have even said that or whatever. There's a heavy, heavy conviction. And I want to say thank God for that in each of our bosoms, the depth of our being, to where we cannot even say. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Yes, that deals with human relationships, but most of all, it deals with our relationship with God. And when we've wronged others, we've wronged God, because he said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First thing he said, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The cross goes first upward, then outward, upward, vertical, then outward, horizontal. And I can't mistreat others and be right with God. Golden rule, inasmuch as you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7:12. Listen, we need to memorize that and pray over it and reflect upon it. Well, how do I want people to treat me? That's how I need to treat other people, whether they respond correctly or not. God wants me to treat other people correctly in His love and for His glory. And as the scripture says, as unto the Lord. Do all things as unto the Lord for His glory and because of Him. You're no longer your own, beloved. You're bought with the price of the blood of the Lamb. That's an occasion to dance, shout, and rejoice today. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for finding and saving my wretched soul. Amen. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. I love that promise. Again, this is Malachi 3:7. Also, James 4:8. Draw nigh. Draw close to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. I don't know about you, but I'm excited at the prospect of God drawing nigh to me. Jesus said, if you obey Him and serve Him, the Father and Him will abide in and with you. John 14:23. Also, what comes to mind is a scripture out of 1 Chronicles, I think it's 28, verse 8 or 9, where it says, if thou seek Him, oh, don't you love this promise? If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. The treasure of the Almighty is to be found. If you seek Him, beloved, He will be found of you. If you knock on God's door, He's going to come out and give you a big hug. He's going to fellowship with you. He's going to make His abode in you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that is exciting. God is going to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. So notice Malachi 3:7. Let's read a few verses here. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. John 17. Let's pray to be one with the Lord, as Jesus prayed, one with the Father and the Son. But ye said, wherein shall we return? See, they didn't. Apparently, they were blinded by their sin. Let's talk about that a little bit. They didn't even realize they needed to turn to the Lord. But isn't that like the Laodiceans? They were wealthy in this world's goods, yet they were blinded, poor, miserable, naked. They were undone before the Lord, not ready to meet Him. They were ready to go to hell and would have gone to hell and did if they didn't repent. And the Lord says, you need to repent and return to me because you're lukewarm. You see, that's the same thing right here in the book of Malachi. There's no new thing under the sun. There are many today, maybe perhaps some listening to me, that are in sin. They're separated from the Lord and don't even realize it. Laodiceans, the last of the seven churches Jesus addresses here, Revelation 3. Let's just look at verse 15 and 16. He talks about them being lukewarm. He's going to spew them or vomit them, reject them out of His mouth. Then He says, because you say, and here's how He's specifically says they manifest their lukewarmness toward Him. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not, Jesus says, that thou art wretched, you're wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Wow. Five things. I want you to study this passage, beloved. Not that we're going to go into great detail and depth with it today, but notice Jesus says that they didn't realize, they knowest not, they don't realize it. See, notice the writer of Hebrews says, speaks of, quote, the deceitfulness of sin, quote unquote, Hebrews 3:12-14. See, the deceitfulness of sin, think about that. That's a phrase we need to lock in and memorize. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is always deceptive. It always deceives you into thinking everything's all right when it's really not. See, that's the nature of sin. It's deceptive. And the scripture says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. You're going nowhere with God if you got one sin in your life. And if you die in one sin, you're going to hell. Oh my gosh, that's sinless perfection. You better keep your garments clean, beloved, because I could go through a lot of scripture on this. No, I didn't say we don't ever stumble in sin. I didn't say that. But I did say that we got a throne of grace God set up to go to. And if you don't go to it, then you retain that sin. Now you tell me where you're going to go when you die. Jesus goes through painstaking volumes of scripture, especially in Revelation, which says every fearful person, somebody that's fearful, they can't make up their mind, they're timid, they're not bold as a lion, they're not loving Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're not with Him, therefore they're against Him. That's the first class of sinner. Go study it yourself. Revelation 21:8. The adulterers, the fornicators, the thieves, the liars, all liars, etc. He goes through a whole list of sins. Will have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, somebody might say, wait a minute, I got saved when I was such and such, so I'm automatically forgiven of all sins. No, you're not. No, you are not. I believe it's Romans 3:25 says, speaks of, quote, the sins that are past. You were forgiven for the sins that are past, not automatically forgiven of all sins in your future. Wait a minute, Jesus died for all sins. He sure did, but you have to appropriate the forgiveness of God, not only initial, but continual cleansing of God by walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, I want you to memorize this truth and meditate on it and make it a effect and part of your body of truth. The constitution of your heart and mind and your belief system must come strictly from the Word of God, not what other men have said of the Word of God, but what the Word of God says for himself. 1 John 1, 7, if, notice again the condition, if always denotes condition, if we walk in the light, oh, wait a minute, I've got to walk in the light. Amen. And you do too. You've been saved. You're no longer your own. Well, you're bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Now act like it and walk like it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1, 7, as Jesus, he is in the light, we have fellowship. This is vertical, us and God. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. What's the condition, beloved, of being continually washed in the blood of Jesus? That would be to walk in the light. You must obey God. It's not enough to know the Word of God. You got to know the God of the Word and obey God. That's a word we never hear in the modern church. You must repent and obey God, deny yourself, live the crucified life, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Wow. So the Laodicean, lukewarm Laodiceans, thought that because they were increased with financial goods, that includes all Americans, because we got it better than any other country. Everybody in America, even the poorest among us, is rich compared to the world's population, or very much of it. So they were increased with goods and impressed with these things. But the Bible says that which is highly esteemed in the eyes and the sight of men is an abomination to the Lord. That's what Jesus said. So we got to judge things by the way God sees them. All right. So they thought that because they were increased with goods, that's like us having vehicles. We have a place to stay. We have furniture in our homes. We get to go on vacation. All the things we have, we are Laodicea, and we must judge ourselves according to the words of Jesus here in Revelation 3. That passage is verse 14 through the end, verse 22 of that chapter, the last of the seven churches that Jesus addresses. And by no accident, that reflects the opulence and the affluence, if you will, that we have today in this last hour. And they said they had need of nothing. They weren't aware that they were in sin, because sin blinds and deceives you. And knowest not that thou art, Jesus said. They thought everything was good, but Jesus said you were wretched, miserable, poor, blind. They did not see the error of their way. They did not see their sin as God saw it. And naked. You're undone. You no longer have the robe of Christ's righteousness covering your nakedness. Wow. That's another subject all over the Bible that I want to encourage you, especially in the book of Revelation, to study out. Notice verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, Jesus says, tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich. See, true riches. You see, are we rich toward God or rich toward men? I think that's Luke 12:15. Are we rich toward God? That would mean being right with God on his terms. Do you begin to see why it's so important for you to be in the Word every day so that the Word gets in you and you're not blinded and absent-minded and not realizing and being convicted by the things God says is sin? I can tell you this, that if you're not in the Word daily and diligently, you've already backslidden. You're the one that he's speaking of right here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Five things. Verse 17, Revelation 3. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Somebody says, well, that's a work salvation. No, that's a relationship salvation. And if you love somebody, you want to kiss them and talk to them and be with them every day, right? It's amazing how much we pour into the idols of our lives. We go to work every day. We go work out every day, some of us. We do all those other things regularly, and they take a whole lot more time than reading the Bible and praying in the morning. But we have no desire to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to be kidding me. And you think you're going to glory when you've said, Lord, just save me. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't really have time for you on the earth to build a relationship. I'm too busy. You've put God, the Lord, as a second-class citizen. He's not your first love. He's a second-class citizen. and he's not your first love. Revelation 2, 4, and 5, the first of the seven letters, he told the Ephesians they had to repent. It's essential. If you don't get back to God, you're not going to be with God. That's what repent means. Get back to God. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich. True riches is being one with the Lord. You have nothing outside of what you have of Christ, beloved. And white raiment. There you go. There's that robe of his righteousness, which only he can put on you. And he does that as you repent. And that's his desire. If you'll return to him, he will return to you, as we just read in Malachi 3:7. James 4:8, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. You need to do that in repentance, always coming before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:16, come unto me, Jesus said. But if you don't, then he won't bless you and he won't be with you. If you've chosen to be without him, he's not going to force himself on you. He's waiting for you to come to him. If you have sin in your life, you one person's fault, and that's you. Not God. God saved you, regenerated you. You were born again when you repented and received him. And now he wants you to walk with him. And if you won't, you're going to suffer the consequences. White raiment. There it is. That's the righteousness of the saints, according to Jesus in Revelation. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that is, not naked, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to clothe them. They tried to clothe themselves. Fig leaves, right? That didn't work. That was of their own doing. Man can't save himself. Man can't be the propitiation, if you will, or expiate for his own sins. So God had to shed the blood of animals in Genesis 3 after man fell and cover the man and the woman, cover their nakedness. Only God can do that. And by the way, the shedding of the blood of those animals to cover them prefigured, it was the first prefigurement of the blood that would be shed on Calvary's cruel cross by the Son of the living God to atone for the sins of man. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, a symbol of anointing for healing the eyes, that thou mayest see. Remember, we started off by talking about, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because if you're not born again, you're blinded in sin. A blanket of darkness abides over you. If you've been saved and you're not in right standing with God presently, you have a dark shadow over your life, which will not go away until you come before God in repentance and then bring forth fruits to prove you repented. Matthew 3, 7 through 10. So anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. There it is. That you may see, you may be aware. Take heed and perceive the truth of God. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice God says, I love you. I'm rebuking you and chastening you, and it proves my love for you. So please, what? Be zealous. That's a command. And do what? Repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Return to him. Notice verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's why we got into this passage. God's knocking on your door. That's what he's doing. He's convicting you. That's because he loves you and he wants to come back into your life, but he's not going to do it. He's not going to force the door open. Okay, this is Jesus talking. No door can hold him out. He didn't say that he forces or kicks the door down. He simply said he knocks on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Sup is the first part of the word supper. Jesus wants to come sit down in your life and sup with. He wants to eat supper with you like he did with his disciples when he was on the earth. He enjoyed fellowship with them, not only before, but after his resurrection. He made a meal for them of fish, cooked it, and they sat down and ate. Hallelujah. The end of the book of John. All right, 1 John 1:3 says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Jesus said, John 17:3, this is life eternal. This is the whole reason for eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's why God made you and why he made me, is that we would know Jesus and the Father and have fellowship with him. God is all about relationship. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, when he was having them build the tabernacle, listen to this. Again, God is all about relationship. He always has been. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Amen. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit, but you must not defile that temple. If you defile it, the Lord's going to destroy you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, I believe it is. All right, so back to Malachi, where he says that if we will return to him, he will return to us. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Then he talks about their sin. And then let's look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. That's the second time he said that. And that thought upon his name. You see, those who fear the Lord constantly think upon and talk about him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and I will spare them. They won't be judged. They'll be saved into glory. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Notice, a man, a father, spares his own son that serves or obeys him. He doesn't have to rebuke them and continually punish them. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to spare his jewels, that is, his little flock, those who truly abide in Christ and obey him. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, notice, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You must be a doer of the word, otherwise your faith is not saving faith. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There it is again. Sin always brings deception and blindness to the eyes of men, whether they've been saved or not. Especially those who have already been saved, if they go back into sin, they're blinded, they cannot see correctly, and they're going to be destroyed if they don't repent. Verse 18, the last verse here in Malachi 3, then shall ye return, there it is again, repent, and discern, there it is. Returning brings discernment. When we return, we can then discern. I want you to write that down if you can. Be safe. Some of you may be driving. Notice, when we return, then we can discern. Notice the two words right there in the first sentence here of Malachi 3:18. Malachi 3, it's the last book in the Old Testament, just before the book of Matthew. Then shall you return and discern. Notice, return and discern. I love it. Never saw that before like I'm seeing it now. I'm going to bracket that. Return and discern. When we return, we'll be able to discern. God will clear our vision. He will get rid of the contamination, the cloudiness in the water. If